Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here this Tuesday. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always a great joy to be with you to share from God's most holy word. Let me say today, thank you so much for all that you do for the Voice of Evangelism. I thank you for supporting us. I thank you for helping us. I thank you for standing with us. You know, one day things will change. We won't have the leisure of sitting around listening to gospel programming because everything will change. But in the process, you can be hiding the Word of God in your heart and aggregate and collect as much as you can in the present. Value the Word of God. Don't take God's Word haphazardly. Embrace the Word. Hide the Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. God's Word is a deterrent. When sin tries to encroach your life in some capacity, if you have the Word of God hiding in your heart, that Word will speak to you and say, don't do that, don't go there, don't live like that. But if you don't hide God's Word in your heart, you don't know what God requires of you. God is a righteous God, and His people are going to be a righteous people. I want to share a song that is 67 years old. It was released February 1956. Some of you listening may remember a man by the name of Porter Wagner. Porter Wagner, Grand Ole Opry. But this song is entitled, What Would You Do If Jesus Came to Spend Some Time With You? It speaks to us even right now about how we're living, what we're willing to accept, and what we're willing to embrace. I think if you have any conviction in your heart, this song will still speak to you about getting closer to the Lord here in the time of the end.
What would you do? What would you do? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if He came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. When you saw Him coming, would you meet Him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you need to change some things before you let Him in, like burn some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about to hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Oh, I know that you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food that you would serve him would be the very best. And you'd keep assuring him that you were glad to have him there, that serving him in your house was joy beyond compare. But would your family conversation keep up its normal pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? And what about the songs you sang, the books you like to read? Would you let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or hope that they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you take him with you everywhere that you'd plan to go? Or maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or sigh a sigh of great relief when finally he had gone? You know, it might be interesting to know the things that you'd do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. What would you do? What would you do if Jesus came to spend some time with you?
What would we do if Jesus actually came to our house and visited us? As he said, would you put away the magazines and put the Bible back where it used to be? What would you do? Well, you don't have to buy the magazines today. You can get the sewage right on your television. The filth, the degradation, the debasedness. When people have genuine conviction, they just can't listen to some things. You know, I don't have Netflix. I understand that's the biggest, greatest thing going on, that you just watch movie after movie after movie after movie. Or the other Cinemax, Showtime, whatever they are, HBO. I don't have any of that. Don't want any of that. I want my hands to be clean and my heart to be pure. People today are polluting themselves. They're polluting themselves with the world. And we wonder why America, we wonder why our nation is in the shape it is in. I turned 68 years of age last month. I suppose since I was 12 years old, I began to grasp and understand a little bit about the world. I went to work at 12, a place called Mount Morn Community Store. The man said, I'll pay you 50 cents an hour. And I worked about 32 to 36 hours a week. I got home around 3:30 from school. My grandma would fix me a little snack. And I would run down to the store and go to work at the Mount Morn Community Store. Ralph Barker was the proprietor. He sold fresh meat, produce, coal, kerosene, gasoline, cow feed, hog feed, chicken feed. Sold all the amenities. Had a hardware store selling nails and fence post staples and all of those things. As I said, I would work 32 to 36 hours a week thereabouts, and make $16 to $18 a week. He didn't take no taxes out. Then when I turned 14, he said, you got to go get you a worker's permit, and I'm going to take taxes out on you. So I've been paying taxes for a long, long, long time already. But I had an understanding of responsibility, understanding about paying bills. I gave my grandmother and my granddad $4 or $5 a week to help with the grocery bill. Had my first dental crown when I was 12 years old. I borrowed $80 from my grandpa to pay for it. I paid him $10 a month for that till I got it paid for. It took me 8 months to pay for that dental crown. Let's say you get one today for $80. It's just not going to happen. But my point is, having been a young lad, growing up, watching, working. I've worked since I was 12 years of age. I have witnessed the world from my limited perspective, and all I can say is, it's just gotten worse. Why, when I was 12 years old, I never heard of a homosexual. By the time I was 15 or 16, I became familiar with the term. But they were still in the closet, and they didn't come out like they are today. The Lord put something in my spirit years ago. He said, when you see the homosexual sodomite community become militant, he said, you'll know my coming is at the door. Why? As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. They were trying to beat the door down to get to the angels in the 18th chapter of Genesis. They told Lot, we want to know these men. The Hebrew is yada, Y-A-D-A. It means to sexually know someone. So when you hear people say yada, 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 they have no clue what they're saying. They have no clue what they're advocating. That's what the word know. It's 3045 in your lexicon and the strong exhaustive concordance in the Hebrew Chaldean dictionary definition. They said, we want to know these men. And that's when Lot made the overture. Well, I've got two virgin daughters, which have never known man. Take them. Do what you want to them. But these two men, leave them alone. And they pressed more upon Lot's door of his home. And so the angel smote them with blindness. But the Bible said they continued to grapple to try to get into the house. They were militant. They were militant. And as we near the time of the end, you'll see more of them becoming militant, losing all element of restraint. So that brings me today to 2 Kings 23, verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 7. And he, Josiah, broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. You know, I am terribly perturbed when Harvard, Yale, Princeton theologians say God destroyed them for their inhospitability. They weren't hospitable anymore. So he smote them because they were not hospitable. That's about as dumb as it gets. That's about as dumb as it gets to say it was on hospitality, the grounds of a lack of hospitality. Yet, 3,500 plus years, we still bear the stigma of the word sodomy, sodomite. There are laws on the books all across America where it's against the law for that. I read the other day where Singapore it tries to keep that stuff out of their country. Singapore. Today, we not only try not to deter it, we exalt it, we laud it. This administration brags about all the sodomites they have in their administration. Is that really something to brag about, to be an administration of perversity? See, this kind of preaching, teaching irritates people. We can see by this one verse alone how God felt about sodomy and how God continues to feel about sodomy. This is why I give you New Testament scriptures. I think I quoted it yesterday. 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. An overthrow. That is a catastrophic event. That's what that word means in the Greek. Catastrophic. Well, what was the catastrophic event? Hellfire and brimstone. Making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. This is how God feels about that. Now, I know people would say, well, Jesus, he wouldn't do that. We forget who Jesus is. Jesus is God. These things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And, of course, they are not natural. Making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation. Remember, the word conversation always means lifestyle. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, I don't need to tell you everything there in 2 Peter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8 have a very, very negative application and connotation. Everything in there is negative against homosexuality. And when you understand a homosexual lifestyle, you realize how abhorrent that it is. And to have the audacity to say, this is how God made me. That to blame God for sin is the most asinine thing that men can do. Blaming God for sin. Blaming God for sin. Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's how God made us, male or female. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he made homosexuals. Homosexuality is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Sin is what makes man evil. Not God, but sin. And I know the things I say such as this today upsets people. I mean, LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, Q for queer, and it goes on. They just keep adding letters to it. Before long, they'll use up the whole alphabet, I reckon. And he, Josiah, broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Well, you see, today they've just moved into the house of God. And you have apostates like Andy Stanley, and there are others, not only him, but there are others. There are so many others that embrace this sin. And love is love. That's the most stupid, egregious statement. Love is love. So we know that you have a particular type of love for a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a grandparent, a niece, a nephew, an uncle, an aunt. There are different types of love. They're not the same. That's why God's love is called the agape love. It is totally different. We cannot fathom that kind of love. People are enamored and love their pets. I love my pets. But I'm not enamored with them to the degree that it goes beyond the natural, the norm. When the Bible speaks of sodomy, it is addressing lesbianism, catamite. You may have heard that term. You may not have heard that term. When the Bible uses the word there in 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, effeminate, that is a catamite. A catamite is a pubescent boy who is the intimate companion of an older male. We call it today a pedophile, pedophilia. What is it, though? It's uncleanness. It is perversion. It is unnatural affection. You see, you can have natural affection. You can have unnatural affection. What we see today is unnatural. It's not normal. We see those who are effeminate. They feign themselves as soft and limp-wristed. There's a mannerism that they convey as to who they are. They self-abuse themselves. They submit themselves to torture. They do things to one another's body that are not normal. It's not normal. It's not even sane. It is insanity. Vile affections. And all of this is nothing but error. And in the end, it destroys the soul. It damns the soul. Oh, I know they talk about, well, Romans 1 is irrelevant. 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, 6, 9 and 10 is irrelevant. All of these things are not what they say they are. But see, that's not true. What Josiah was doing, he was tearing down the living quarters of the male and female shrine prostitutes. See, you've heard me use the phrase prostituting your relationship with Jesus. You cheapen, you degradate, you lessen, you debase the holiness, the righteousness of God. That is a rhetorical statement. I'm not saying that to any individual. That is a rhetorical statement. When it says here, the women wove hangings for the grove, what they were doing, they were weaving coverings for the Asherah pole or phallus. I'll leave it at that. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that in the end, men will leave the natural use of the woman and will embrace same sex, and women will do the same thing. You're seeing more and more women in the lesbian community. One of them wants to be the man. The hair's cut off. They wear ball caps. They wear boots. I'm not talking about dress boots. They want to wear work boots. They want to look like a man. Well, at the end of the day, ma'am, you're not a man. You'll never be a man. You can do all the nip and the tuck you want to do. You can take all the replacement hormone therapy you want to take, but you're still a woman. You are the species that God made you. You can do all of this stuff you want to do to the human body. As I told my doctor friend, Dr. Spate, you can do all the things you want to do. But you know what you can't do? You can't make the female brain acclimate to a male body. You just can't do it, and vice versa. Like Mr. Buttigieg. He's a man. But he plays the role of a woman because the man he married is his husband. I mean, is not this perverse? You see, we get dumbed down and we accept things we should not accept. And they'll make you. Can you believe somebody got put in jail, got fined? I believe it was an attorney somewhere. He misgendered somebody. So what that means is they say they're a woman, but they're really a man. And so the man says he or him, and that's called misgendering. Or man says he's a woman, and you don't call her or she. And I'm like, can you believe legally we're getting to a state and a place if you misgender someone? And then the explosion of drag queens. See, as I got over here into the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings, then now God begins to identify all the sins that Josiah is going to deal with. God help any parent that takes their child to a drag queen show or library book reading. I've read and listened to a few testimonies of young people who were talked and coerced into changing their sexuality, and now how they are so hurt, so injured, so harmed. I heard a young lady say the other day, I now want to have children, and I'm unable because I did all of this stupid stuff to my body. This is perversity. It is perverse. It is evil. It is straight out of the pits of hell. It is not normal. You see, I'll be castigated for being critical. I'll be maligned for taking a stance and telling the truth. But see, people today don't want the truth. I never saw the movie, but I've heard the statement, Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. This is a society in which we live in. People cannot handle the truth. The world is inundated with lies and liars. Inundated with lies and liars. Yes, the world is. Our governmental officials stand before us and blatantly lie about everything. The poor people in Palestine, Ohio. All these chemicals and burning them. And you know what is so sad? We're sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. Joe Biden left $85 billion worth of armament in Afghanistan. And yet we cannot help our own people. You see, this is by design. They want to teach wokeism in the military. This is why they cannot reach their goals of men and women enlisting anymore. Because they're teaching garbage. 6 weeks or so ago, Joe Biden stood on television. This is what he said. He's giving Ukraine 700 tanks, thousands of armored vehicles, 1,000 artillery systems, 2 million rounds of artillery ammunition, 50 advanced rocket systems, anti-ship and anti-air defenses. We've already given them 7 years worth of Javelin missiles, meaning it would take America 7 years to replenish what we have sent to Ukraine. And he said this, aid for pensions and social support so they have something in their pocket. So let America's Social Security program become insolvent, but we're going to send money to Ukraine so those people over there have money in their pocket and they never contributed one dime to anything. Can somebody explain to me that I can understand that's all right? It's not all right. It's evil. It is wrong. Those poor souls in Palestine, Ohio. I'm not a newsman. I'm a Bible preacher. So people say, why don't you talk more about this? Why don't you talk more about that? You get all the news you need. You get more than you need. You get so much news, it begs description. But you don't get the Bible like you need it. I get emails and videos and YouTubes and this and that. People send me stuff all the time. Just, man, if I don't have the time to listen and read everything everybody sends me. If I did, I would stay behind. I listen to some. I look at some, but... but my business is the Word of God. So you can turn on the television, you can go to YouTube, you can hear more stuff about stuff that's unbelievable. Don't you already know the world is evil, corrupt, and vile, and wicked? How much more do you need to know of that? You need to know Jesus. You need to have a relationship with the Son of God because you're going to spend eternity somewhere when you die or you get killed in the process. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Where will we spend eternity? And so I'm not called to be a news reporter. I'm not called to do those things. We do have a new place on our website called World News. If you want to go there and see some world news, fine. But I'm going to preach the Word of God. That's what I've been called to do. You can pick up a program, 50 a day, of different people who are elaborating and sharing what's going on in the world. But you find very few programming today that is fully Bible-based. And this is why we're in the shape we're in. You know, I hear it all. People say Bill Gates, gates of hell shall not prevail. I mean, what are we talking about? Bill Gates symbolizes the gates of hell? Oh, he's just another minion for Lucifer. I won't argue that. But Bill Gates is not the gates of hell. Anybody that believes that is really getting out there. And the stuff that we entertain, the stuff that we listen to, does not edify us and build us up and strengthen us for what's coming. There's going to be distress of nations. But my point is, we are an evil people. This is an evil generation. It is a nation. It is a generation that has deteriorated immeasurably. It was in 2012, 11 years ago, January 2012. God gave me the one word, acceleration. He said everything would accelerate. Let me say it this way. We do not realize how much we have deteriorated over the last decade, just 10 years. Folks, it's been nearly 22 years since 9/11, two full decades. And Satan and his minions right now, covertly, are working on another incident. They're working on something to bring greater distress in America. They want to destroy America. They want to annihilate America. They want to bring us down so they can bring on the New World Order, the mark of the beast. When they talk this reset garbage, that's just a New World Order. George Herbert Walker Bush, first Bush president. He talked about a new world order. He didn't live to see it, but he was a part of it because he advocated it, a new world order. There will be a new world order one day when Jesus comes. That's what I'm looking for. Now, he talks about here in verse 7, and he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Hangings. They were coverings. The Asherah pole was either a living tree with the top cut off and the stump or the trunk fashioned into a certain shape. Or it could be artificially fashioned by a stone or wood and set erect in the ground like a totem pole. That is what they were doing. And as I said, at the end of the day, it's nothing but a phallus image, corrupted and debased, glorifying the organ of procreation. I'll stop at making any more comments. But this shows us the debasedness. This demonstrates the debasedness of how far Israel had fallen and how corrupt they had become. And sadly, America is in the same shape today with all of its perversity. It is so sad. It is so tragic what we are allowing to come into America. We've lost our conviction. We've lost our conviction in America. Verse 8. 2 Kings 23, verse 8, and he, Josiah, brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and broke down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Josiah brought the entire Levitical priesthood who had officiated at these various high places back to Jerusalem. Now, most theologians believe he did not kill them, but he brought them all back so he could monitor their behavior. I would say today there needs to be monitoring in the ministry today. First of all, the pulpit needs to be monitored because what they're advocating and appropriating and dishing out is not worth a hill of beans. What a sad day when the purported men of God were so unfaithful they could not be trusted. Sounds a lot like ministers in America today. You know, when you turn on the television, you see a bunch of hustlers. You see a bunch of people who are trying to shake others down for money. It's nothing but a sham. Selling water. Miracle water. Are you serious? Jesus is the miracle giver. And we want to equate miracles in water? We are living in a day when the Holy Spirit of God is no longer relevant, no longer evident in the nominal church. The Holy Ghost is a truth monitor. The Holy Ghost is a truth detector. Let me say it like that. The Holy Ghost is a truth monitor, a truth detector. He detects and he knows all truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Josiah defiled all the heathenistic, paganistic, idolatrous places. Those that were adhering, embracing, lauding, extolling, teaching, preaching false gods and false deities, thus making the priest idolatrous priests. They weren't godly priests. They were idolatrous priests. You know, a man may call himself a preacher, but is he a preacher of righteousness? Is he a preacher of righteousness? The Bible says distinctly about Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. Do we have in America preachers of righteousness? We have some. But these priests, at the end of the day, were nothing but false shepherds. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. And sadly, many houses of God today are defiled by false shepherds. The incense and sacrifice were to be confined only in Jerusalem at the true temple or true house of God. If you will recall Jeroboam, he made two golden calves and made it easy for the people to not return to Jerusalem, to the true house of God. But he made a substitution where they could offer sacrifice that would only be accepted by false gods, not the true God. When you make two golden calves, whatever you offer, whatever you tithe, whatever you do there, it is an abomination in the eyes of God. And just like them, offering sacrifice to these false gods, these idols, that God cannot accept that, number one, because it's not offered to him. It should be offered to God, but it's offered to the false gods. Many today in the church world make frivolous sacrifices to Jehovah, and they cannot be accepted. God will not accept them. Their worship, their sacrifices are faulty, as well as being an abomination in the sight of God. This is where we are in the modern church today. There's an acceptance of nearly anything. It doesn't matter how crazy, stupid, frivolous. People will eat it up. American Christianity has become so gullible for just craziness. And your history, as Solomon Wells said, there is nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself. How is it we can live like hell on Saturday, come to the house of God on Sunday, and think we can offer the Christ of God Holy Spirit-filled worship, which is supposed to be a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God? We've come to a place where we try to come and bring that in, but God doesn't accept it. That's why you don't feel the Holy Ghost in most churches today. It's not acceptable in the sight of God. God gets tired of religion. God gets tired of the chicanery. God gets tired of the false, the fallacy, the mendacious. He gets tired of that. Isaiah 1, verse 10. I want you to listen to this closely. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. You see, religious people are dangerous people. They cloak themselves with righteousness, but what it really is at the end of the day, it is unrighteousness. Remember, 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. I know what some are thinking. You are so judgmental. Well, I try to do what the Word of God says. I want to, you see, you got to take the whole Bible and you must rightly divide it. You must rightly divide the entirety of the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. True Christianity, this is a sad statement. True Christianity is contending with fallacy, falsehood, and fake Christianity. We're contending with that. Back to Isaiah 1:10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. God's tired of it. See, why? Their hearts are not pure. Their hands are not clean. When you come to appear before me, who hath required that this at your hand to tread my courts? In other words, what you're doing is absolutely false. Who required this falsehood of you? Well, it's the false prophets, the false shepherd. So here in verse 13, he says, bring no more vain or worthless oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. He said, when you come together, it is in my eyes iniquitous. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You see, Paul said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Israel was unable to do that. Verse 16, Isaiah 1:16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease, quit doing evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And then the renowned passage, Isaiah 1:18, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But then there's another verse. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What a tragedy. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. What is he saying to Israel? You're just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, the Lord put in my heart years ago, when you see the militancy of the homosexual community flourish and explode, know my coming is near. You see, for a better lack of terms, that is the bottom of the barrel. Did you know if one generation turned into entirely a homosexual community, there would be no life anymore? You see, they cannot procreate, so they have to recruit. Two men can live together for 75 years, 80 years. They'll never have a child or have offspring. Humanity would die out. Now, I know science is working on perversity. Science is working on things that are obscene and absurd. I think I shared with you some weeks ago where they're trying to put a uterus into a man, take his own sperm, fertilize an egg, which he doesn't have an egg, see? So that shows you right there, it's already off track. But then take his own male sperm, fertilize some woman's egg, and put it in his transplant/implanted uterus and try to hook up the blood vessels from the pelvic to nurture the uterus to bring forth a child. And of course, they have to fill the man full of estrogen, progesterone, all of these things. But then they said, in all honesty, well, you can't have a natural birth. It has to be a C-section because the pelvic of a man is not designed for that. Why are we so in opposition to God's divine design about everything? I mean, just in the natural. A man is wide at the shoulders, narrow at the hip. Women are wider at the hip and narrower at the shoulders. The body anatomically is designed for a reason. And just like Israel, all of this found a place in the temple, the house of God. Well, when I was a little boy, there wasn't no remote. There was nothing ever said about same-sex marriage or these things in the church, the house of God. I don't care what denomination it was. I don't care what organization it was. Now they're all debating, contemplating. Some have already gone over to the reprobates. They've embraced same-sex marriage. You got lesbian pastors. You got homosexual pastors. It's taken over. Even the mainstream denominations have succumbed to the pressure of the world. That's why God said, hey, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Just two or three. I believe he said that for many reasons. One is he knew it would get bad in the end, and you'll have to leave your church. You'll have to leave your denomination. You'll have to leave your organization because it's full of perversity. So if there's a small cottage prayer meeting, God said, I'll be there. I'll be there. It's a known statistical fact. Anytime a church gets over 250 and its attendance, it begins to grow liberally. It doesn't grow conservatively. It grows liberally. I'm out of touch with a modern church. Preachers don't want a man like me there preaching. Can you imagine me going into a nominal church and preach and teach and share what I'm sharing here today or yesterday or whenever? Oh, no, we can't let that guy come in here. My God, he'll upset everything. See, what they're saying is, I don't want God to be the Lord of my life. I want fallacies. I want paganism. I want idolatrous worship. Those are the things we want in the house of God. And so here in Isaiah 1, God says, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. He said, bring no more vain oblations. Burn no more incense. It is an abomination. He said, do away. I cannot embrace this iniquity. Even every time you call a solemn meeting, which would be a holy convocation, God says, I'm sick of it. My. America has fallen. Proverb 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law or the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. When men don't adhere to the word of God, and they say things like, but I pray. He said, your prayer, it's an abomination to me because you're living in sin. See, the Bible condemns this frivolity, this cynical debasedness that men think, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Come on in here. Got religious organizations trying to smoke pot, trying to somehow justify smoking pot, getting high. How do you think you can have spirit-filled worship while you're high? How can you even imagine that? So what's the difference in you being drunk? You're high. You're high. You're on opiates. You're on drugs. And you think you can come to the house of God high and worship God in spirit and in truth? No, you can't. But see, this is where we're going. Acceptance. There are some things, my friend, that God will never, ever, ever accept. You can do all you want to. You can theorize. You can educate. You can do all of the things you think you want to do. Somehow you can justify. It'll never happen in the sight of God. It will never happen in the sight of God. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? It will never happen. I don't care if your church runs 50,000 and you have millions of dollars of tithes and offerings coming in a week. That don't mean God is there. They take up offering at homosexual churches. You got homosexuals that tithe. No, they say they pray. God said, I'm sick of it. Bring no more worthless oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. That incense always typifies worship. Worship. God said, I'm tired of it. You are contaminated. You are polluted. It's not pure. It's not clean. Remember, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've got to keep our hearts pure. We've got to stay unspotted. We've got to remain without blemishes. We've got to be a holy, a godly, a righteous people. But see, today we want to have it both ways. We want to have it both ways. We want to say we're Christian, but we're not really living the Christian life. We want to say we're dedicated, but, oh, we're not really living as we ought to live. This is not Burger King. You cannot have it your way. And those who think they can live like that and still get on their knees and pray, Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law or the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. I didn't say that. The word of God said that. The word of God declares that. The word of God decrees that. I'm trying to get you closer to God without compromise. Remember, whatever you compromise to gain, in the end, you ultimately will lose it. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week. Pray for me. Pray for the ministry. Pray for us that we will always be subjected to the perfect will of God in the coming days. God bless you. I'll see you next week. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.